evening, and welcome to Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Shea Mutella, and joining me, as always, are my ever-wonderful co-hosts, Tom Caldwell and Chris Haig. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, doing really well. Happy to be here. Looking forward to another episode of our show.
Excellent. Chris, how are you doing?
I am doing well. Hope you guys are good, too.
What, this is episode 37 of Good Evening, yeah. An Alfred Hitchcock podcast. And I got to ask you guys, if we went back to do it all over again, would you do the podcast with me?
Of course we would.
I don't know. I mean, I've lost a lot of freedom and independence. Yeah, of course.
I still think the theme should have been the Police Academy films, but, yeah. You know.
It would have been a much shorter podcast series.
A different project. Yeah. No, this is fun. I'm enjoying this.
That's the podcast we're going to do after this. So.
Yes. Yeah. Police Academy. Excellent. Right on. Well, in case you guys haven't figured out what's going on here, we're covering Alfred Hitchcock's 1941 masterpiece, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And I use masterpiece extremely loosely. Dangerously loosely. Anyways, so we'll get into this very shortly. We're always thrilled to watch Hitchcock movies for our podcast. Anyways,
I've got a synopsis here from a wonderful book by Thomas Leach. I recently bought myself a couple more Hitchcock books for my library. Mm-hmm. Chris's habit of buying lots of books is rubbing off on me. He's encouraging me to buy books, even though I'll never read them.
Hey, well, ironically, I'm a bit of a reading slump at the moment, so I'm not doing it. But I'm glad that my bad habit is catching.
So the screenplay presents a married couple long given to settling their marathon domestic disputes by agreeing not to leave the room where the fight has broken out with the news that their marriage is technically void. So instead of informing the wife, Anne, of the complication, our stockbroker, David Smith, attempts to withhold it from her until after sleeping with her one more time, but she finds out anyway, throws him out of their apartment, and begins to date his partner, Jeff Custer. And that's how it begins.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was going to do something funny. I'm having internet issues here while we're discussing. And I was going to be really funny, and I'm going to say, ooh, I want to read the summary of this. And then I was going to give you guys the summary of the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie movie from a couple years ago. But alas, I wasn't able to do that. So, however, I do have some trivia for you guys. Would you like to hear it?
Right. Absolutely. On. Go for it.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith is a 1941 American screwball comedy film directed by Alfred Hitchcock, written by Norman Krasna and starring Carol Lombard and Robert Montgomery. While Hitchcock later claimed he directed the film, the only pure comedy he made in America, as a favor to Lombard, the files at RKO Radio Pictures show that Hitchcock himself pursued the project. Mr. and Mrs. Smith was considered a hit, and it made a profit of $750,000 at the time. Carol Lombard, who played Anne, was an American actress noted for her roles in screwball comedies of the 1930s. She is listed as one of the American Film Institute's greatest stars of all time and was the highest paid star in Hollywood in the late 1930s, earning around $500,000 per year. In September of 1938, several British newspapers reported that David O. Selznick had just purchased the rights to Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca, and Lombard was named as the lead. Lombard befriended Alfred Hitchcock's family when they moved to America, eventually persuading him to direct her in Mr. and Mrs. Smith. After she married Clark Gable in 1939, the Hitchcocks rented her house at 609 St. Cloud Road in Bel Air. Lombard's career was tragically cut short when she died at the age of 33 in an aircraft crash while returning from a World War II war bond tour. Mr. and Mrs. Smith was the last film released before Lombard's death, and To Be or Not to Be from 1942 was her final film, which was released 2 months after she died. This is her only Hitchcock appearance, but she reprised her role in the Lux Radio adaptation of this film. Robert Montgomery, who played David Smith, was born May 21st, 1904, and died September 27th, 1981. He was an American film and television actor, director, and producer. He was also the father of actress Elizabeth Montgomery. He began his acting career on the stage, but was soon hired by MGM. Initially assigned roles in comedies, he soon proved he was able to handle dramatic ones as well. During World War II, he drove ambulances in France until the Dunkirk evacuation. When the United States entered the war on December 8th of 1941, he enlisted in the Navy and was present at the invasion at Normandy. After the war, he returned to Hollywood, where he worked in both films and later in television. This is his only Hitchcock appearance, but he was in the radio adaptations of The 39 Steps for Lux Radio, and he reprised his role from the film in Mr. and Mrs. Smith for The Screen Director's Playhouse, which is a different adaptation than the one that Carol Lombard was also in. So there was multiple radio adaptations of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And lastly, Alfred Hitchcock can be seen passing Montgomery in front of his apartment building, walking from left to right and smoking a cigar as the camera pulls back, which is about 43 minutes into the film. To the delight of the crew, Lombard herself directed Hitchcock in this brief scene, forcing him to redo his very simple part many times. So I think that's a lot of fun and pretty cute. So excellent. So just a little bit of trivia on that one here for you guys. Yes.
Can I do my viewer mail segment?
Absolutely.
So I went out on Facebook and there's a number of Hitchcock and different classic film fan groups that I follow. And I just asked people about 24 hours ago, I posted and said, what do you think of this film? Got some good comments here. From North Carolina, Sean Moore says he loves this movie, but when you combine two of his favorites, being Lombard and Hitchcock, it's hard for him to not love it. Mm. It's one of the few comedies Hitchcock made, so it's more of a Lombard screwball than a Hitchcock film. But from what Sean has read, the Hitchcocks were great friends with Lombard, and Robert Montgomery is underrated overall, but he is in a good variety of roles, and he made a good director himself. The film doesn't get mentioned enough when reviewing the wonderful screwball comedies. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sean Moore. And then Richard Bennett from Rotherham, UK, calls it a screwball comedy without the comedy. One of Hitchcock's worst films. Rhonda Gould, who's in Kansas, says, as a Hitchcock film, she thinks it was a little lackluster, not really a good representation of his work. But if you watch it as what it is, a screwball comedy, she thinks it's enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Fergal Hughes from Galway in Ireland says, this is a much maligned film by Hitchcock fans because the fans don't see it as fitting comfortably into his canon. And then he goes on to say, the trouble with Harry gets a similarly bad rap because it doesn't fit comfortably mm-hmm. within the regular list of Hitchcock films. Mm-hmm. But with Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the feeling is much stronger because of the complete lack of any element of the macabre. So simply put, according to Fergal, Mr. and Mrs. Smith is an example of that American genre, the screwball comedy, something Hitchcock never attempted again before or after. And you guys remember, we've talked before, one of our regular listeners, Martin Leaf, mm-hmm. who's from the UK, his comment was just that Mr. and Mrs. Smith, he's wondering what we think about it. He has watched it many years ago, wasn't very keen on it. It's a bit of a comedy take in Hitch's career, but he is looking forward to our podcast and hearing our views on the movie. So thank you to these people that contributed and gave us some comments, some very well thought out comments there. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate anybody that's listening to our show and has any feedback for us. That is always really well appreciated to make our show that much better.
Yeah, excellent, guys. We really, really appreciate the feedback. It's a lot of fun to get that from you guys. So, but I guess let's jump into this discussion here, and I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag, and I will say I hated this movie. I absolutely hated this movie, and not because it doesn't really fit into Hitchcock's work. Like, you know, as I was listening to the comments that you were reading there, Tom, I was thinking about that. And, you know, some of Hitchcock's early silent films don't really fit into his category, but we did enjoy them quite a bit. I look at, like, I really enjoyed The Ring. I really enjoyed The Manxman. You know, mm-hmm. so there's a couple of his works where when he was getting off the ground as a director that I still think are really good films. The problem for me is that I completely despised both of the main characters in this film. You know, like watching this movie and seeing these people and have their argument, and fine, like whatever married couples do, married couples argue, and however they want to get past it is their own thing. But, you know, sitting there and saying that, you know, if I had the chance to do it over again, I wouldn't, you know, to try and, like, that doesn't work in a relationship, saying something like that. Like, whatever you believe, even if, you, like, that's not the kind of thing that you're honest on ever. Like, even if that's what this person believes. And while I blame him for not coming right out and telling his wife, by the way, I just found this out, I also completely blame the wife and despise her for just not giving anything in this 90 minutes of this movie that I just watched. You know, like, this husband is doing, he was wrong to not say, oh, by the way, this guy came to me and told me this, right? But for the rest of the movie, he's trying to, and she's just like, no, I'm going to go start sleeping with this guy over here. You know, like, this is, to me, it was just a ridiculous concept that aggravated me for 90 minutes. I was completely aggravated watching this movie. So,
hey, so had you seen it previously?
I have. I've seen it once before.
Okay. Yeah. And when did you watch it before? Like, was it just you were watching films and you just picked it up or what?
So I picked this up. I don't exactly remember what year it was, but I've got on DVD two big Hitchcock box sets. There was one that came out. I don't know if people remember it. It was in a felt case, and you had like a little door that you open and you'd pull it out, and there was four discs in each of these little kind of book things that slid in there. And then I had another, you know, more rectangular box set that had a whole bunch of movies from his basically early color era. There was like Foreign Correspondent was in this box set, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Stage Fright, North by Northwest, mm-hmm. like was the kind of area. So I bought these movies a long time ago, watched them once, and then like some of these ones never revisited, right?
Because I remember on Twitter the night that you watched this film, like a week ago, you basically, I'm sitting down to watch this film. I'm not going to like it.
So no, I said I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, were you like kind of like able to come into it with a clean perspective, or were you already biased that you didn't think you were going to enjoy it? Or
so I didn't remember anything about the movie. I just remember that I didn't like it once before. Now, I didn't like Rebecca the first time I saw it, and I loved it this time around. I wasn't looking forward to Rebecca when I sat down for it either. But I loved Rebecca. So, yeah, again, I didn't remember a single thing of this. And again, yes, when I try and sit down, I'm going to try and enjoy the movie as I watch it. But I was completely agitated and aggravated for 90 minutes watching this piece of film.
I kind of have to agree with Brandon, and not because I had such high expectations or real hopes for this, but I think, I mean, all jokes aside, when I think of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I don't think of this. I think of the 2005 Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie movie. So I kind of thought, oh my God, it's going to be like a bit of a spy thriller. It might not be exactly the same, because I doubt there'd have been like a lady spy and like, oh, she's married another spy and they don't know it and all that sort of thing. And then I sat and watched this and I was bored. I was frustrated. I disliked both of them intensely. For various reasons. It reminded me of when we covered Rich and Strange, mm-hmm. in that I hated the main couple so much, to the point where I sent you, for you know, the listeners' information, I sent these two a message after I watched it saying, I hate them so much, I just want them to die. They're just awful characters. They are completely unsympathetic. They're unlikable. The problem with trying to do this, you know, if you want to do a screwball comedy, that's great. The problem is that you need to make your characters likable, mm-hmm. otherwise you won't care what happens to them. Mm-hmm. If you get, you know, a screwball comedy and add real likable characters, you get It Happened One Night, which is one of the best films ever made. Or even in Hitchcock canon, you get Lady Vanishes, which has screwball comedy elements. You get, you know, all these fantastic kind of couples who bounce off each other, and you just think, oh, wow, that really works with these two. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I was more annoyed by the fact that he, I just don't understand anyone who would kind of come out and say, yeah, I wouldn't marry you again. Yeah. Mm. Complete loss of freedom. Really, really horrible sort of thing. And I was just annoyed. Mm-hmm. But then she was a total brat as well. It's like there's the bit I would remember is where he confronts her when she's got a job. She's got a job at this, like, perfume counter, mm-hmm. department store sort of thing. And he's there saying, you come home right now, that sort of thing. And he literally just drags her out. And I'm like, I'm caught between how dare you do that to someone, particularly your wife, and kind of caught between, yeah, throw her.
well.
Because I was just like, ooh, yeah.
Like the sexism where that, I love that department store scene you're talking about, because the manager says, oh, you're married, we can't hire you.
Yeah.
We only hire single women.
Which, that may have been a thing at the time, right? I mean, like, with lack of jobs, right at the time of the war, right? Like, I don't know. So I can buy and understand that, because that might be something of the time that we are just not aware of, right?
I think it was a thing. I think because it was, if you're married, then you've got it's presumed you've got your husband's income.
Mm-hmm.
So let's single girls, they have a priority, that sort of thing. And I never took it to be, I might be wrong, but I never took it to be, oh, because you're single, you're more desirable, and he can get chatted up a bit, and then maybe that sort of thing. Or it's, you know, immodest for a married woman to work in the counters. Mm-hmm. That might have been the case, might have been part of the societal thing. But yeah, it's just,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the sexism in the film was almost quite pronounced.
Right, and obviously that wouldn't fly today, right? Like, they just wouldn't be hiring people, but they would, you know, hopefully give equal opportunity to anybody, but
yeah.
I don't know. So before Tom jumps in, like, I do want to add, I'm also predispositioned to not liking screwball comedies, which is a part of this. Like, when we did the 39 Steps, I said, I love this movie. I don't like the screwball comedy parts of it, you know? And so I'm going to pass the mic over to you, Tom. And honestly, I hope that you loved this film. I really do, because the reasons that I don't like it, again, are not because this doesn't fit into, you know, the little square peg of what we think Hitchcock is. I just really couldn't stand the characters and did not think this was funny at all. So, and I know that you like The Trouble with Harry quite a bit, which is a kind of a comedy movie. So, Tom, take it away. What are your thoughts?
Trouble with Harry is more of a dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's that poor body, that poor corpse in and out of the ground over and over. Like, that's a funny premise. But I appreciate, like, last time we recorded, we kind of preambled a bit about this movie. And I'm the guy that, I enjoy comedy in general, in the bigger picture, outside of Hitchcock. And I went into this, you know, thinking, oh, this will be like, I don't remember seeing it before. I went into it realizing it's going to be a comedy. It's going to be a bit off of the regular Hitchcock style, but the bickering couple, like, give me a break. Like, it didn't impress me. Like, it and again, of the era, like, in the day that it came out, maybe it seemed pretty funny, like, it was pretty humorous that this couple couldn't get along. But the whole the sexist treatment of her, and the men, like, literally the old men's club that he belonged to, and all that stuff that happened, it really didn't, I never really got a really good chuckle at anything, and I never really found the bickering to be endearing or charming or cute, or I really, again, the film kind of dragged on for me, and I never really got much out of it as a true comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we have to be careful to try and treat it as a single film, not compare it to the Hitchcock films in general, which is difficult because it's a Hitchcock film. That's why we're talking about it, right? But to try and treat it as a standalone, an attempt at comedy by him is difficult when we have such high regard for all his other movies, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that we do generally do a good job of that, though, because, again, with some of those early Hitchcock films, right, we talk about them and we rate them for the movie that they are, because Hitchcock didn't get the personality of this is Hitchcock and he makes this kind of movie until later in his career. You know, like, this was something that was developed. He didn't just come out of the gate and be like, hi, I'm Hitchcock, the master of suspense, but you know what? I got to pay the bills, so here's the Manxman. I got to pay the bills, so here's Mr. and Mrs. Smith, because I can't be doing Foreign Correspondent every single time. I got to do something else. That's not... He just took jobs. And this public perception that we have of him, this fan perspective of him being this master of suspense, always doing the man on the run kind of type movies, just developed because he started to do a lot more of those. So I don't know. I think we do a good job as a team here of analyzing his films one by one and looking at them on their own accord. So I wish I liked it. I wish I didn't hate this movie, but I don't have anything positive to say about it at all. And that's frustrating because I don't like listening to podcasts where all they do is just bash something. I don't want to be that guy.
There's a quick quote here I'll read by Hitchcock. Some time ago, I directed a comedy called Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Carol Lombard. It was a pretty successful picture commercially, but it wasn't considered a Hitchcock picture because it had no chase. Like, it had no car chase. It had no foot chase. Mm-hmm. Again, like, I really want to... I agree with you. Like, I don't like listening to reviews that are just, like, negative, negative. And I think if our viewers, our listeners, want to watch the film, they should. If they haven't seen it before, you should, because it's really important to be able to see the film yourself and form your own opinion. Maybe some people would really enjoy it, mm-hmm. and really get a kick out of the bickering and the fighting and the... But this whole idea that... how practical or plausible do you think it even is that commissioner, that guy from the county where they were married, just shows up and says, oh, by the way, your marriage is void. Wah, wah. You know, like, that was corny in itself.
I believe that for the time, right? Like, it was a time where, I don't know if this is going to come across as naive, but I believe back in the 40s when this came out, businesses took things like that a little more seriously, and they would go out of their way to inform their people, hey, this is wrong, here's your $2 back or whatever it was for your marriage license, you got to go get married again, right? So I don't know,
right.
I buy that they would do something like that nowadays. No, but I mean, mm-hmm. I'm jaded. So, but like, even
Chris, tell us something positive about the film, anybody.
The cast is quite good. Yeah. I mean, because I've seen Carol Lombard in To Be and Not To Be, so I'm like, okay. No matter what, she is kind of... She is watchable even if the character lacks a lot of likability. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I can live with that. I think it's shot fine. I do like how it does kind of develop out of... Because it's set in the city, and then it eventually goes around. And these set pieces, like, we're on the top of a Ferris wheel, or in the like a ski chalet, and that sort of thing. And I think he's always got an eye for little set pieces, and I think that carries over into the comedy side of things. Mm-hmm. So you've got when Carol Lombard is basically on a date with the main guy's best friend, they end up stuck at the top of the Ferris wheel ride for hours and hours, and that I thought was just, I was like, oh, okay, that's fine, that's decent enough. When then we go into the ski chalet, and it's just this whole kind of the love triangle rears its head, I thought that was interesting. It reminded me a lot of a film I've only seen, and it's not related to Hitchcock whatsoever, but it honestly reminded me of this. There's a film that Danny DeVito directed called The War of the Roses.
Oh, wonderful movie.
Yeah, brilliant, it reminded me a bit of that, just because it was this... They started off as this couple who were kind of perfect, and then the divorce or the breakdown of the relationship just kind of tore them apart. And at the end of that movie, it ends quite darkly, quite kind of tragicomic. Whereas with this, it's kind of very neatly resolved and that sort of thing. So I thought it was an interesting parallel. Mm. You know, so I did find it a bit on the boring side, but you know, it's still very well shot. I love the anecdote about Lombard kind of taking charge behind the camera and kind of getting a bit of revenge on Hitchcock. I think that's quite delightful. Mm-hmm. Just, I just love the idea of him just saying, like, are we done yet? She's like, no, one more, come on. Just keep it going. But no, it's not one of my favourite ones, but it's definitely not the worst one that we've done. Mm-hmm. So
right on.
I don't know. I disagree. I rank this below Rich and Strange. Like, ugh. This is my least favorite Hitchcock film we've covered so far, so...
I saw you picking up one of our resource books. Did you have something from the book you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I wanted to take a look at kind of the history of the last few films. And I mean, like, the last film that doesn't really fall into the cookie cutter that people think of as Hitchcock was Jamaica Inn as well. And, like, that's not really a Hitchcock film. And that's a film that people tend to dismiss as well. And, I mean, we loved that movie. I loved it more than you guys, right? So... Again, it's not. It was a little bit darker, you know, and I don't know. I blame it all on the screwball comedy, and I just don't like screwball comedies. So, I'm sorry, guys. I know that you're not liking the movie either, but I'm sorry to the listeners because I wish we had more. Yeah. So,
yeah, I still think you should watch it. If you've not seen it, then definitely watch it because you know there will be people out there who, for them, this is a really great film and it's a great comedy and it's kind of. It is more in that vein of, you know, screwball comedy in terms of a couple who loathe each other and they sort of take it out on each other before they find romance in the end, you know? So if that's your cup of tea, you might really enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not handled very well and I think it is a bit, it's sort of simultaneously, it's annoying and it is a bit toothless as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't have any of the genre elements that Hitchcock has, even if it is stuff like a little bit of darkness here, a little bit of darkness there. But I think it is still well worth a watch. So, yeah, that's all I could think of.
Tom, you generally watch comedies, but Chris, do you generally watch comedies?
I don't mind comedies, but if my usual fare is more... I'm just going through, actually. I'm just thinking, yeah, I'm more of a drama person, but I do... It's kind of like, I really like my dark dramas, but then my comedy then is very light in comparison.
Mm.
So there's very few dark comedies I'll actually enjoy. It's almost like I need a palate cleanser.
If I had to rank off three top comedies right now, Something About Mary, This Is Spinal Tap, and Airplane with an exclamation mark. Like, that's my style of comedy. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that really shine for me, that really are just highlights of the film comedy genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's good. That's your kind of comedy palette, in a way, in that you've picked, like, okay, so that's funny, and that's funny, and that's funny thing. So, yeah, I've not actually seen There's Something About Mary, and I've not seen Spinal Tap.
You haven't seen Spinal Tap?
I know.
Shame on you.
It's on my list.
Chris.
No,
listen. I only saw Big Lebowski last year. So.
Big Lebowski's overrated.
Yeah. Well, I know. I'm a big hoser. Anyway. but no, I get it. That kind of. And it's sort of like, I really like Clue. And very few people have heard of Clue. And I'm like, it's amazing and it's hilarious and that sort of thing. But we've all got our own specific sort of palettes when it comes to comedy. So there'll be people out there who don't like anything remotely dark, who like it really light-hearted and all that sort of thing, and that's great. And then there are people who like it really messed up and really dark, and fortunately for being in the UK, there's a great tradition to that. So, you know, if anyone's ever looking for dark comedy, then you are more than welcome to check out some of the stuff we've got going on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think your barometer for enjoying this will depend on how much you enjoy comedies, and then how much you are willing to run with the screwball comedy sort of gambit. Because it's not a classic screwball comedy, and that's fine. It doesn't need to be, but I think it almost wants to be, but kind of stumbles on the execution.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, like, the type of comedies that I like Spaceballs is one of my favorites, and I laugh every time I see it. You know, Old School. Right, I laugh every time I see that, and to me, the height of comedy is Mr. Bean. Like, I don't know, I love Mr. Bean, and I think that is the most brilliant comedy out there myself, because it's all physical comedy, you know. So that's my kind of style of comedy. So,
have you seen the Johnny English films?
I have not. So,
oh,
I haven't seen Blackadder either.
I was going to say, Rowan Atkinson, like, Johnny English more than Blackadder. Blackadder's that kind of the wit, but for physical stuff, Johnny English is kind of classic, so I would recommend.
Tom, how many remarriages out of five would you give this?
I had to laugh so hard when I saw they go to that their favorite Italian restaurant.
Oh yeah,
right? Oh, okay. And then it's gone downhill.
Mama Leone's moved back to Italy or whatever, and it's a dive bar.
Yeah.
And they sit on the, anyway. My rating is 2.5 cats sitting on the dining table.
Nice.
I was going to say there was a cat. It's a cat, isn't it? That was actually kind of funny.
Because my wife and I can't eat in our house without our dog or our cat getting in on it, and it's very annoying.
Yes, that scene was cute, I guess. So yes, that's a positive thing I'll say. When they're like, "We want to eat," and the guy's like, "You want to eat here?
You want to eat here? You want to eat here?"
So
we found a good scene.
Yes. Chris, what is your numeric rating?
My numeric rating is, and it's weird because it's gone up. I've literally given it like a full extra point just for that scene because I thought that's quite funny. I will go with 2 out of 5 ski chalets in which to kind of restart your already shaky marriage.
Yes.
Brandon?
Yeah, I'm going to give this 1 divorce because I never want to be in the room with this film ever again. So, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, this is. I'm glad that I'm done this, and I'm glad that I never have to watch this movie again in my life. So,
anyways. Oh, well.
Yeah.
We'll carry on.
Excellent. Well, at this time, we'd like to thank our wonderful friends over at the Fandom Podcast Network who helped to host this show. We have our own independent feed, but you can always find us in their feed. So check them out on Twitter at FanPod Network. They've got some great shows over there. Be sure to check out our friends Annie and Catherine and their show, Good Evening, and Alfred Hitchcock Presents Podcast. They're taking a bit of hiatus over December here, but they'll be back in January. That's a whole heck of a lot of fun. They just wrapped up their series on the wonderful Phyllis Thaxter, who was in many episodes of Alfred Hitchcock's Presents. And we also want to thank our good friend Jason Cullimore, who created our glorious theme song for our show. You can find him. We got his information linked in the show notes all the time, so be sure to check out his movie or his website and his music that he's got for you. Well, that's all we got for you this month, except actually it's not, because we have a special Christmas episode coming out for you guys. So be sure to check your feeds on Christmas Day, and we will leave it at that, right? Be sure to check your telephones, as they may be ringing on that day. And then back in January...
They will be ringing on Christmas Day.
And then January, we shall be back with Suspicion. But until then... Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.